Virtualization offers us a way to extend the life of old software. The hardware can be upgraded to the latest specification, allowing the legacy software to take advantage of increased performance. In the past, applications tended to run on their own dedicated server hardware. More applications meant more servers. Virtualization reduces server sprawl, as IT departments can consolidate several applications on a single box. And virtualization has a role to play in green IT, as it can improve the efficiency of servers and lower the amount of electricity consumed. IT directors and CIOs have a real opportunity to break from traditional data center designs and run virtualized IT environments. How this will work in practice remains to be seen, but the benefits are very clear indeed. This is Cliff Sarin on ComputerWeekly.com podcasts, where you can listen to and download interviews with leading experts on key topics of IT management and technology. Today I am speaking to Alexa Boner, a research vice president at Gartner, to ask her about the problems with licensing software such as databases, middleware and operating systems when the underlying platform is not hardware, but a virtual server platform like VMware. Alexa, one of the things that we've been seeing is that IT departments are making greater use of virtualization. I think you've noticed there's some challenges for people trying to implement virtualization. Can you tell me about those?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. The challenges really haven't been so much on the technical side of the house, but much more on the commercial side. So organizations have been quite aggressive in trying to embrace this technology and capability with the idea that it's going to reduce costs. And in many areas, it has reduced costs. So it's possible to reduce costs from a hardware perspective, for example, using virtualization. It's also possible to reduce costs from a network systems management perspective, or even from an employee perspective, with less resources required to manage. But from a licensing perspective, that's where everyone has been getting a big surprise. And that's where the cost savings have just not been realized at all. And in some cases, costs have increased quite dramatically. For some organizations, it has obliterated any of the savings that they may have made through the other efforts that they made to virtualize.
That's quite remarkable. What has been the biggest problem with the way the software has been licensed?
Well, the biggest problem so far has been that most vendors are licensing based on maximum potential capacity, rather than what has actually been used, any kind of usage licensing. And moreover, they don't really recognize any logical partitioning. Only hard partitions are recognized, which isn't very helpful if you're trying to virtualize or dynamically provision applications. And so organizations who may think they're only going to use, let's say, 4 CPUs for a specific application, but there would be 64 available in the environment, are having to pay for the full 64 from day one, irrespective of what they actually use, because the actual license agreements require that you pay for everything that could be used or that is installed and or running.
That seems quite tough, really. Is there anything that people should be doing?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, people have to recognize that this is a constraint, so it doesn't come as a surprise. If you're doing it proactively, you have a lot more leverage, obviously, than have you already halfway through the project and suddenly you're trying to have a discussion with one of your major software vendors. They won't necessarily feel that they have to do very much to assist you. And from a vendor perspective, I mean, there is a somewhat of a concern that this will, lots of virtualization will lead to revenue reduction. So they're trying to protect their own revenue, but at the same time do things that customers wouldn't seem to be particularly unfair or very onerous. So what we have seen for customers who have looked at this proactively and have managed to conduct negotiations in the context of buying something else, normally, and I'd say that was the biggest issue. Trying to do this when you are putting money on the table for something else is a very big plus. It has been possible to negotiate contracts which would allow them to do virtualization. In many cases, they have got the rights to do sub-CPU partitioning or even logical partitioning. It's on a trust basis, so it's not done by any kind of technical measurement real time, because the tools just simply don't exist to do that. But some vendors have allowed that customers will license for what they think they're going to use and then measure after the fact and then pay a pre-arranged or pre-negotiated true-up if they're vastly out of compliance with what they had initially anticipated. But that requires, again, a fair amount of forethought and certainly pre-negotiation. You can't just assume that this will happen midway through a project.
Alexa, do you think there'll be changes in the short term as the market opens up?
I don't see that many short-term changes, in fact. I think that eventually, and I'm going to say eventually, we will get to something that is more granular, that is more workable, and that is closer to usage-based pricing. But I'm saying eventually because it will take a lot of pressure on the software vendor community to achieve that. Don't forget that, you know, in the past we've had the same problem with mainframe and people wanting to license for parallel sysplexes and some vendors offering parallel sysplex license fees, but not many. And then the quest for usage-based pricing has also been largely unfulfilled in this environment. And again, partly that's because of the fact that the industry has not yet standardized on a measurement or a licensing metric that is granular enough to accommodate what would be required for virtualization. So CPU is really too high level a metric to be measuring. And yet, although there are discussions starting between chip manufacturers, software vendors, user communities, we haven't really reached a point where there's any definitive answer to the problem of which should be the new metric. And more importantly, perhaps, there's no third-party tool market that would be able to measure according to any of these metrics and bill successfully. We have seen some individual software vendors invest in billing and measurement capabilities, but only for their own software, not for the broader community. And my sense is that until those developments take place, you're not going to get to a usage-based pricing metric that would be satisfactory for both vendors and users. So in my anticipation, we will be struggling over this thorny issue, certainly for the next 3 to 4 years, maybe more.
Is there anything the software industry can learn from other sectors in the way that usage-based licensing is priced and is measured?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question, actually, because when you think about billing in other sectors, there certainly are billing vendors that exist for example, the telecommunications or the utilities industry. So if you were to get a bill from British Telecom or from Deutsche Telekom, they're not all producing their own customized little bill with their own little metrics and their own algorithms inside. They're using the software usually of 2 or 3 or 4 big independent billing engines or billing vendors. And I think that's what we will need to see in the information technology space as well, that you don't buy a separate piece of software for IBM and another separate piece of software for Oracle and another separate piece of software for BMC, rather that there would be these tools in the industry that would measure and be able to calculate bills across a variety of different vendors in much the same way that, as I said, these telecom billing vendors or utility billing vendors would be able to sell to a variety of different telecommunications companies across Europe or indeed the US.
Okay, in summary, Alexa, what would be your advice to IT directors and CIOs now entering negotiations with the big suppliers and thinking about their virtualization strategy?
I think the first thing I would say is not to neglect this. So to understand that this will be a problem and that in many cases, virtualization is exacerbated by the other move that we're seeing in CPU pricing, which is an adjustment to pricing to relate to the multi-core developments that we're seeing from chip manufacturers. So ignoring this is a big problem because multi-core multiplied by virtualization is a huge bill. And it's only going to get bigger as we move from 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 core. So the first thing I would say, be prepared to address this. Have some imaginative ideas about how you could go about this. Do not simply rely on your vendor to come up with an alternative. If you have your own ideas about how you could do this, and also demonstrate to them that you are prepared to measure this, that you do have the processes in place to get some semblance of accurate measurement. They'll feel a lot more comfortable with licensing with you if they feel that you have asset management processes in place that would accurately track what you have been using versus what you have been spending.
In your experience, has that worked for Gartner clients who have gone in and shown the software vendors that they do have the processes and measurements in place?
It has. Of course, it's obviously, as I mentioned earlier, easier if you are also doing this at the same time as buying some additional licenses. So if you are combining this approach with some purchase of some incremental licenses, particularly if it was in a new product area where the vendor was interested in making sales, that will make it obviously much more compelling. If you don't have anything to offer the vendor, it's not really a negotiation. It's more of a situation where you're smiling nicely and hoping.
So the key to negotiating with your software supplier is to make sure you're not just asking for a price for putting the software on a virtual server. As Alexa points out, it may be a good idea to include virtualization as part of a bigger license negotiation. The most important thing to remember is don't get cornered by going all out on a virtualization strategy before you've negotiated favorable license conditions. Thank you, Alexa, and thank you for listening. If you are interested in finding out more about virtualization licensing, you may want to look at my new blog at http://www.computerweekly.com/blogs/IT-FUD-blog.